Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
Morning to you. Mike McNamara in for a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. So I just got off the phone with my co-author for the book, and which is why I was like about 2 minutes late getting on the air. And Stacy, and I really enjoy our conversations. She's smart, right? She's lived a bunch of this like I have, and yeah. So in the last 24 hours. I've been kind of doing some research, and then I was walking my dogs yesterday listening to Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And so I'm a little bit confounded by some of the stuff that I see, right? And so let me share my confoundation with you if I can. I got to find what I highlighted. Here you go. So there's things called adverse childhood experiences. Okay. So follow me. ACEs, right? Adverse childhood experience, ACE. And so I've talked about the study that I've kind of been drilling into. Done in 2014, published in 2014. And so let me just share with you, right? Childhood, adverse childhood experience in the United States military, right? Listen to this. Persons with a history of military service. Now, again, think about the military pre all volunteer force. You had a much greater representation of a cross section of the country, right? So when the all volunteer force happens, what do you think happens to the proportion of people looking to get out of a bad situation? That goes up across the board, every category, right? Now that we don't draft anymore, we don't have that same cross section of America. We have many more people in it that are getting away from something. Okay. So listen to this. Persons with a history of military service may be a specific subpopulation of interest regarding adverse childhood experiences, because some may enlist to escape personal problems such as household dysfunction or abuse, thereby potentially elevating the prevalence of adverse childhood experiences among military populations. Perhaps more important, military service may expose persons with a history of trauma to additional trauma. For example, combat or military sexual trauma, which may additively elevate risk of poor mental health and suicide. However, and this is the kicker, the prevalence of childhood adversity among U.S. military and veteran populations is largely unknown. Now, this is written in 2014. So I made some phone calls yesterday to some PhDs I know. Hey, do you know if this data exists? I've never seen it. I believe I know somebody who collected it anecdotally, but not that the DOD collected. It just seems kind of stupid to me, right? So this is written in 2014, right? When military suicide is going up. Active duty and veteran populations have experienced unprecedented burdens of poor mental health and suicide. Although evidence links combat exposure and suicidal ideations. Here you go. Stand by. Wait. Nearly half of all suicides, this is 2014, right? So working on data from, you know, 2000, between 2000 and 2000 and probably 10, 2011 for the study. Nearly half the suicide among active duty personnel have been among persons who have never deployed to a war zone, leading to further research of suicide risk factors that may be missed by healthcare professionals and military line leaders. So even at the height of our suicide, 50% of the suicide was with people that had never been to combat. Interesting. Goes on. Furthermore, the prevalences of adverse childhood experiences may be higher among military population because some persons may enlist to escape violent, abusive, or dysfunctional home environments. For example, and then it lists a study, found that to get away or escape... Why is my phone still on? That's a mistake. Right? Violent, abusive, or dysfunctional home environments. This study found that to get away or escape from family problems or a suffocating environment, a poor job market, or a broken relationship was one of eight emergent themes of reasons enlistees provided in interviews for joining the American military. Among a stratified random sample of 520 veteran women receiving care at the Veterans Health Administration system at six different women health care centers, this study found more than half acknowledged physical or sexual abuse before enlisting in the military. 86% indicated enlisting to escape an abusive or a distressing environment. We don't know shit about that stuff. So, as I say, we have leaders across the military that stand in front of people every day and they don't know who the fuck they're even talking to because they don't know this shit. Listen to this. This the title of this section of the study is called adverse childhood experiences among men with or without a history of military service. Okay, so this differences in the prevalence of adverse childhood experiences were more pronounced among men by history of military service in the all-volunteer era than men among men with a history of military service in the draft era. So it compares draft era, which you had a much wider swath of the United States in, you know, having to enlist, and now it's an all-volunteer force. In the all-volunteer era, men with a history of military service had a significantly higher prevalence of adverse childhood experiences in all 11 categories than men without a history of military service. In particular, men with a history of military service from the all-volunteer era had twice the prevalence of all forms of sexual abuse than their non-military male peers. Being touched sexually, 11% versus 4.8%. Being forced to touch another sexually, 9.6 versus 4.2. And being forced to have sex, 3.7 versus 1.6. Moreover, men with a history of military service from the all-volunteer era had twice the prevalence of experiencing adverse childhood experiences in more than four categories than men without a history of military service. So what that's saying is that they have all these categories listed, right? Forced to have sex, domestic violence in the home, alcohol abuse in the home. That if you were part of the all-volunteer force, you are more than twice as likely to have checked for those categories, right? We don't know that. Now, let me tell you a little something about women. After adjusting for demographic information, women with a history of military service in both eras had similar patterns of elevated odds of physical abuse, household alcoholic abuse, exposure to domestic violence, and emotional abuse than when compared with their respective female peers without military service. In addition, women with a history of military service during the all-volunteer era were more likely to report being touched sexually than women without a history of military service. In addition, the overall similarities between military and non-military women across eras suggest that military may not serve as an escape. Listen to this. An escape from adverse home environments for some women, it may be for some men. One explanation may be that because men tend to be the perpetrators of interpersonal sexual violence against women, women survivors may not view the military, an institution comprised mostly of men, to be a safe option. We tend not to know that. And then it gets to some kind of conclusions that I'll share with you right now. Yeah. So my question is, why don't we know this stuff? Why isn't this stuff shared? For instance, conclusions. Some studies report elevated suicide rates among active duty service persons and subgroups of veterans, and adverse childhood events have been associated strongly with suicide risk. Max responds, you fucking think? Hello? Our results indicate that men with a history of military service in the all-volunteer era were more than twice as likely as men without a history of military service to report being forced to have sex before the age of 18. In addition to types of adverse childhood experiences, men with a history of military service from the all-volunteer era had more than twice the prevalence of existing in four categories. And then it goes on to say, identifying the presence of adverse childhood events among military service members and veterans may aid in better understanding the causes of trauma-related mental and behavioral health conditions and the cumulative effect of trauma. Max response, you fucking think? But why why don't we know who we're standing in front of? Do you think that that may impact the way we lead them? I do. And so to me, it's pretty stunning to hear that. Okay? It's stunning to read it. And then I meet these people all the time. And my conclusion is as I begin to, as this problem's revealed to me, and people will say, well, Mac, you know, have you learned anything that really surprises you? And I say, hello. And here's what I say. We have no idea as leaders how much sexual trauma and how much emotional and physical abuse exist in people before they even get to the military. None. And then they come in and then we don't deal with it very well. And then we wonder why they kill themselves as we stack more and more shit on them. So I say that, and then I go through kind of these epiphanies where I begin to go down, you know, and research and learn and stuff like that. And then I ask why. This son of a bitch is written in 2014. And go online and just do adverse child experience, ACE, right? And then U.S. military. And just type it 2020. And look at the list of shit that comes up. Yet, when you talk to leaders about this, they just look at you, right? Like you have a coffee mug growing out of your forehead. Like, what? I cleaned that up, by the way. So now I'm walking my dogs yesterday. I'm listening, and I was going to play this. I was going to play this for you this morning, but I didn't get there. You know what? Here's what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start the program. So I'm actually just going to buy myself a little time here. What I'm going to do is we'll start the program, and I'm going to look for a section that I want to read to you of Man's Search for Meaning, where Frankl talks about the form of therapy that he's created, which is called logotherapy, right, which centers on finding meaning in your life, blah, 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 blah. And then he contrasts that with Freudian shit, which is, how does that make you feel, Mac? Do you know your real problem, Mac, is that you want to have sex with your mother? No, dog, I didn't know that. Oh, well, you fool, Mac. Of course that's your problem. Do you not know anything? I don't think I do. I don't think I do. Right? So I'm going to find what I want, and I'm going to read it to you because it's at the part of page 2. And so that's what I need to find. All right? That's what I need to find. So good morning to you. The Mensa brothers are going to join me. We're going to talk. I'm going to tee life up for them. I'm going to tee life different things. We'll talk about General Mattis's op-ed. We'll talk about Devon Richard not being replaced. I mean, that's a big deal. So we'll get their thoughts on that and see what else we come up with. So good morning to you on this Thursday morning, the third day of December in the year of our Lord 2020. And I'll find this thing from – so you can imagine I have this stuff in my head, right? And let's see. I'm walking my dog and – I'm walking my dog, and I'm at the Orange County Fairgrounds, and I'm listening to Frankl, and he says this stuff, and I'm like, and I start yelling, right? I have my little earbuds, and I'm like, holy shit, man, holy shit, right? And essentially, what, in a very, very nice PhD kind of way, In a very nice kind of way, what Frankl says is, hey, look, if you want to go find out, right, and do the whole Freudian thing and take the chance that some shrink is going to unravel you, then good luck. God bless you. He said, but I believe I have a better way. What people really need is a path through. And I'm walking the dogs screaming and yelling, right? Like, how did I hear this before? Did it not resonate with me before? So I need to find that. I need to find that part of the book. And I'll read it to you. So, good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Dedicated to my co-author, Stacy. She's smart. I like, she makes me think about this stuff a lot. And the experience of collaborating with somebody who, you know, has their own thoughts is pretty cool. So, honest date, just dedicated to Stacy.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore. So, young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You gotta win.
All right, time to check the weather. I found what I was looking for. It's right at the start of the second section, right? And that's what blew me away when I listened to it yesterday. Anyway, before we get to that, let me tell you this. In Quantico, partly sunny and 46. Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune down the coast, a little bit warmer than it was yesterday. Sunny and 53. 29 Palms, cold. Sun and 46. Pendleton, sun and 61. You don't often see the temperature difference that much. Maybe it's being misreported in 29 Palms. Or not. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, cloudy, and 62. Camp Pendleton's got three weather alerts. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, dark, raining in 64. Off to Camp Pendleton we go. Three weather warnings. What are they? Wind advisory. The wind was blowing last night. Woke me up. Till 4 o'clock today. A beach hazard statement and a small craft advisory. All wind related. So stand down the landing force. In Darwin, down under, dark, cloudy in 77. And in Oslo, Norway, it is dark, cloudy in 34. At the home of Auburn Radio, it is foggy in 61. It has three weather advisories as well, which I would believe are the same ones that are down at Camp Pendleton. And upon checking, I'm wrong. One, a beach hazard statement until 4 o'clock today, and then a second one until 4 p.m. Saturday. Waves and surf 4 to 7 feet in San Diego County, with sets of up to 8 feet in La Jolla, and surf 3 to 6 feet in Orange County can be expected. Oh, man, Napa Man is going to be so bummed to hear that, right? Cowabunga, dude, surf's up. All those pot-smoking surfers will be out there. Yeah, standing room only on the beach. There's a small craft advisory in effect, and then a marine weather statement until 4 p.m. today. All right. Now, here's what I want to share with you. I'd like to play the audio, but I don't have time to find it. So this is the second section of the book. The first section of the book is about him, kind of his early life, his professional life, and his life in the concentration camps. That's part one of the book. Part two of the book is called Logotherapy in a Nutshell. And that's Frankl's. Logotherapy is, the word logo is a Greek word, stands for meaning, right? So man search for meaning. All right, you with me on that? All right. So logotherapy is search for meaning in life. So he says, he writes this. Of course, well, I have to read this. Readers of my short autobiographical story, which is part one, usually ask for a fuller and more direct explanation of my therapeutic doctrine. You know what? Why the hell would I be reciting this if you can hear it? Yeah, through the wonders of technology that I didn't really want to waste my time on, I will, in fact, now... let's see, logotherapy. So I'm 22 minutes into it. I think this is part two. Yeah, it is. Here's part two. This is it.
Part two. Logotherapy in a nutshell. This part, which has been revised and updated, first appeared as Basic Concepts of Logotherapy in the 1962 edition.
Okay, so imagine this. I'm walking my two dogs. Okay? Joe, who used to be the criminal of the family, he's now, like, he's a borderline show dog. Yeah. You may see he and I in the Westminster Kennel Club event next year. Joe's like, he's smarter than Jack. Jack's like, Jack's his own kind of a dog. Right? Jack's not so much into fetching. Okay? Jack likes to sleep a lot. Okay? So Jack is always in search of a treat or when we're going to go on a walk. And if you're not doing that, he's asleep. Joe is man's best friend. If I'm out there sweeping the patio, Joe's out there standing there watching me. Right? Observing. If I'm out there lifting weights, Joe's out there hanging out with me. Yeah, Joe's man's best friend. But the way he's become Westminster Kennel material is when we go for a walk, when we get to a corner, you know, I used to have to, you know, grab the leash and say, you know, because it's one of those leashes that go in and out, you know, it's retractable. And so I would have to say, stop, right? And so he doesn't run in the street before I get there. So now, because Joe's so smart, he just stops. Yeah, this started happening about 2 weeks ago. And I was like, oh, he's a show dog. Yeah. Joe the show dog. So Joe the show dog and Jack, the reluctant astronaut, they're just doing their thing, right? And I'm walking, and I hear this, right? And I start yelling.
Of man's search for meaning. Readers of my short autobiographical story usually ask for a fuller and more direct explanation of my therapeutic doctrine. Accordingly, I added a brief section on logotherapy to the original edition of From Death Camp to Existentialism. But that was not enough, and I have been besieged by requests for a more extended treatment. Therefore, in the present edition, I have completely rewritten and considerably expanded my account. The assignment was not easy. To convey to the reader within a short space all the material which required 20 volumes in German is an almost hopeless task. I am reminded of the American doctor who once turned up in my office in Vienna and asked me, "Now, doctor, are you a psychoanalyst?" Whereupon I replied, "Not exactly a psychoanalyst. Let's say a psychotherapist." Then he continued, questioning me, "What school do you stand for?" I answered, "It is my own theory. I call it logotherapy." "Can you tell me in one sentence what is meant by logotherapy?" he asked. "At least, what is the difference between psychoanalysis and logotherapy?" "Yes," I said, "but in the first place, can you tell me in one sentence what you think the essence of psychoanalysis is?" This was his answer. "During psychoanalysis, the patient must lie down on a couch and tell you things which sometimes are very disagreeable to tell." Whereupon I immediately retorted with the following improvisation. "Now, in logotherapy, the patient may remain sitting erect, but he must hear things which sometimes are very disagreeable to hear." Of course, this was meant facetiously, and not as a capsule version of logotherapy. However, there is something in it. Inasmuch as logotherapy, in comparison with psychoanalysis, is a method less retrospective and less introspective. Logotherapy focuses rather on the future.
Did you hear that? I want you to listen again. All right, pay attention. Logotherapy, right, inasmuch as logotherapy, in comparison with psychoanalysis, is a method less retrospective and less introspective. So less Freudian is what he's trying to say, okay? But he doesn't want to, like, call out Freud and say Freud's a jackass, okay, for taking people. But I want you to hear what he says is that, right, is that when you go down that rabbit hole, you get caught in this, you know, my mother spanked me and all this other bullshit. Well, what does that have to do with you going to a better place? And are you finding out, you know, what's true and valid, or is some therapist telling you what they think is true and valid in your life? And I could tell you what Tim Lynch would say. Okay, so stand by. Here you go.
"Now, in logotherapy, the patient may remain sitting erect, but he must hear things which sometimes are very disagreeable to hear." Of course, this was meant facetiously, and not as a capsule version of logotherapy. However, there is something in it. Inasmuch as logotherapy, in comparison with psychoanalysis, is a method less retrospective and less introspective. logotherapy focuses rather on the future, that is to say, on the meanings to be fulfilled by the patient in his future. Logotherapy, indeed, is a meaning-centered psychotherapy. At the same time, logotherapy defocuses all the vicious circle formations and feedback mechanisms which play such a great role in the development of neuroses. Thus, the typical self-centeredness of the neurotic is broken up instead of being continually fostered and reinforced.
So that's when I yell. I'm like, "Ah!" It defocuses all the vicious circle formations and feedback mechanisms which play such a great role in the development of neurosis. Thus, the typical self-centeredness of the neurotic is broken up instead of being continually fostered and reinforced, which is, I don't care why you're like this. I want to show you a path through it, right? And Frankl doesn't say it like I say it, but so I'm having that experience as I go through the Orange County Fairgrounds. And I'm like, yes! More of the reasons why I love Frankl, right? More of the reasons why I love Frankl. And so, anyway, kind of Twin Towers. I don't understand why we don't understand who we're standing in front of. I don't know why that research hasn't been done. Can you collect information about their background? If it's non-attribution, no name, no anything. Just tell us if this has been in your life. Hello? Right? Hello? I mean, we can't collect that. We collect all kinds of shit that has very personal information on it that's identifiable. I don't get that. And if that can help us, and then you take that blind data and you present it to your leaders and say, look, man, if you're not involved with them, then, things aren't going to turn out well for some of these people. Look at this. How many people in this organization have checked multiple blocks, right, in this? Like 27% of the people in that study checked multiple blocks, four or more. Something that you should know. So anyway, good morning to you here on Thursday. As I said, the Mensa Brothers will join us here in about 25 minutes. More of Allman Radio. We'll get a medical update from Will, see how he's doing, if he can taste anything. And we'll do that. What else we find out? We'll find out how everybody's Thanksgiving was. Jeff went to Pennsylvania. Tim and I just stayed home. And so don't touch that dial. We'll take a quick break. More of Allman Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back, and that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform, so stand by us now.
Like my brother did, and he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis, or know one who is, the confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's service members and veterans are strong, forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. They are diverse, unique, from all corners of the country, and thanks to their common experience, a family for life. But whether they served in lands far away or communities close to home, some of these men and women may face difficult times or even crisis, but sometimes reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all for veterans, service members, reserve, and National Guard. Thankfully, friends, family, and communities are standing by their service members and veterans now more than ever. We're all in this together. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line. During times of crisis, reach out and call dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1, or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Hi, I'm Gary Sinise. Our veterans put everything on the line to protect our freedom. We may never be able to repay them for their sacrifice, but we can show them just how much we appreciate all they've done. You can help by simply sharing your time, lending a warm smile, a supportive hand, or a sympathetic ear to someone who needs it. Everyone can do something to make veterans know just how much we appreciate their service. Please visit www.volunteer.va.gov. What will you do?
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference, for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, to the news we go. Now, this is why we don't need the Stars and Stripes, okay? Right. Top of the fold headline, I could have helped. Ex-employees, lawmakers question the VA's decision to shutter in-house compensation and pension exams. Exams are crucial to determining whether veterans are eligible for VA benefits. That's the top story. Number two, military health care personnel will be the first in the DOD to receive coronavirus vaccine. Number three, U.S. Baltic, U.S. Special Operations Site activated in the heart of the Baltics. Now, I say this about Germany and the big row over Germany and NATO. NATO is further east. Get a map out. For all you NATO files, right, get a map out and, like, educate yourself. Go find Germany on the map. And, like, if we could be further east than Germany, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Oh, I would tell you that I think it's a pretty good thing. So why would Germany? Germany is in Western Europe, for God's sakes. You could be in Poland, right? You could be in the Baltics. You could be in Norway. All way further east of Germany. What should we do? Let me get my fucking Ouija board out and figure it the fuck out. Yeah, it's stupid. So, and again, why are we advertising it's a special operations site? Why don't we just call it a logistics base and let everybody else figure it the fuck out? I don't, like, hey, it's special operations. Oh, really? Awesome. A new special operations site that will allow elite U.S. troops to expand operations in the Baltic region is up and running in the Latvian capital of Riga. How about that? You know, this should say, the United States has a new logistics site that will allow the United States to execute sustained operations in the Baltic region. And let everybody else read what you wish. You know, you don't see the Israelis announcing, the Mossad moved into a base, blah, 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 blah. They don't say that shit. The site is the latest example of steady U.S. military investment in the Baltic region, where the Pentagon has spent hundreds of millions of dollars over the past 5 years to improve military infrastructure and allow more drills to be carried out. Now, what it should say is, in spite of nations like Germany, who don't do shit to defend their own country, and then bitch when we say we're leaving. But it doesn't say that, right? The new base officially opened last week during a ceremony attended by U.S. diplomats and Latvian military leaders. How fired up do you think the Latvians are, right, about that shit, right? Living as they, I mean, if you know the history of the region, they're like, yeah, fuck you guys, Russia, ass clowns. It includes a vehicle servicing facility, ammunition storage, two helipads for U.S. CV-22 aircraft from the United Kingdom base, 352 special operations wing. Why? Why do we need to write all that? The assets are designed to allow special operations forces to move rapidly in and out of an area and to conduct maintenance. I just don't like, why do we need to put, if it's special operations stuff, why do we need to put it out there? Here's another story. This is the thing I don't like about Stars and Stripes. Here's a Marine Lance Corporal who's 20 years old who makes the front page of Stars and Stripes. New charges for Marine accused of choking an Okinawa taxi driver, then stealing and crashing the vehicle. That's on the front page of Stars and Stripes. It's like clown-like shit. General Milley is in the news. U.S. to continue advise and assist operations in Afghanistan and Iraq after the drawdown, General Milley says. So both places are going to have about 2,500 troops in them. Over to Wall Street Journal for what is going on in the world. Jobless claims fall after a recent uptick. So, again, until the service sector gets going, in particular, right, you know, retail shopping, restaurants, bars. I mean, these are the industries that have been hit hardest, the airlines industry. Until those things get going, until we have a vaccine, those numbers are going to stay where they're at. Another interesting story is, ahead of U.S. audit bill, Chinese companies are finding their way home. It's kind of an interesting story. Legislation is awaiting the president's signature that would ban trading in shares of U.S.-listed foreign companies that don't allow inspections of their papers. Dateline is out of Hong Kong. New legislation that is likely to force some Chinese companies off U.S. exchanges will accelerate a migration underway since last year. On Wednesday, the U.S. House of Representatives unanimously approved a bill that would ban trading in shares of foreign companies whose audit papers aren't inspected by U.S. regulators for 3 consecutive years. The measure passed the Senate in May is expected to be signed into law by President Trump. China's government and financial regulators have long resisted U.S. demands to see the audit papers of Chinese company whose shares are traded on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. How about that? So anyhow, pretty interesting in the ongoing, you know, war with China over would you bend to the free world or will we bend to you? So we shall see who bends to who. Next story. There's a you know, one of the things that U.S. Naval Institute does on their news page is they publish a lot of studies that get done. Here's one. Report of National Commission on Military Aviation Safety Mishaps from 2013 to 2020. Interesting. You don't see that most places. Next headline. First Marine Corps carrier capable F-35 Charlie squadron now ready to deploy. Part of the 3rd Marine Air Wing. So congratulations to them. And here's a story by Megan Eckstein. Navy and Marine Corps will need to recapitalize sea lift logistics capabilities to succeed in specific operations. Yeah, how are you going to do it? That in the news. Let me get to Marine Corps Times, and then we'll get to top stories in early bird. Because there's a story that features General Milley, and he's talking about the budget that I want to talk about. Top stories in Marine Corps Times. Is there anything new? The United States Naval Academy has a first black female brigade commander. So that a milestone in the history of that organization. There is no new Secretary of Defense being tagged, right? And so the president-elect, facing escalating pressure from different parts of the Democratic Party, the preseason favorite, Michelle Flournoy, has like faltered in the running. People citing her record and her private sector association. A coalition of at least 7 progressive groups warned Biden to avoid Flournoy in an open letter to him obtained Wednesday by the Associated Press that referenced her record of, quote, ill-advised policy decisions, particularly in relation to Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and Afghanistan, and an opaque history of private sector activity. Ms. Flournoy's consistent support for military intervention has contributed to devastating crises around the world, including in Yemen. So I'm looking to see if there's any other people that have named former general. Has been named. So that is in the news. What else? Top 5 stories in early bird today. Number 1, military's top officer says we've had a modicum of success in Afghanistan. I think that's putting lipstick on a pig, honestly. I think that's General Milley saying what he has to say. I think that the decision to expand the ground war and attempt to create a strong federal government in Afghanistan in a short period of time is an absolute fool's errand. And I think that General Milley is putting lipstick on a pig. Congress advances defense bill, bucking the president's veto threat. Congress is moving ahead with its annual defense policy bill without repealing a prized legal shield for social media companies, testing President Donald Trump and the power of the veto. So the president said he wants Section 230 reformed, and he wants social media companies to be held accountable for what they publish, and since he believes they're censoring unfairly. And so he's threatened to veto the bill. Congress daring him to. Number 3, Biden faces growing pressure over Secretary of Defense pick. We talked about that. Who in the military will get COVID vaccines first? And so the CNO was testifying before Congress yesterday. Number 5, U.S. to withdraw some Baghdad embassy staff as tensions with Iran and its allies spike. So, yeah. Now, our embassy in Baghdad, we have said here in the last few months that, you know, if you can't protect our embassy, then we'll find somewhere else to go. The U.S. government has decided to withdraw some staff from the embassy in Baghdad through the final weeks of the Trump administration, officials say, as tensions rise throughout the region. A person familiar with the withdrawal described it as a temporary de-risking that will continue after the January 3rd anniversary of the slaying of senior Iranian military leader Qassem Soleimani last year by a U.S. drone strike. And anniversaries are no small deals in the Middle East. So anyway, that has been off and on in the news for a while. I wanted to talk about this article. Headline, Milley, budget reality check may impact foreign exercises and basing plans. This was written yesterday. Pentagon planners need a reality check about future defense budgets and must accept that military dollars may be drying up, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said on Wednesday. I suspect that at best the Pentagon's budget will start flattening out. There's a reasonable prospect that they could actually decline significantly depending on what happens. Milley said that at an event hosted by the Brookings Institute. Quote, in an ideal world, I believe we would need 3% to 5% sustained level of real growth in order to continue the modernization programs and readiness programs and so on that we have, Milley added. But that's also not necessarily going to happen, and I don't anticipate that it will happen. So we have to, we the uniforms, we here at the Pentagon, civilian and military alike, we've got to do a quick reality check on the national budget and what is likely going to happen in the not-too-distant future. His comments are not likely to surprise surprise to defense watchers, as there is a growing consensus for most of this year that even if President Donald Trump had been reelected, defense spending would likely be flat. He went on to say, the department must take a hard look at what we do and where we do it. There's a considerable amount that the United States expends on overseas deployments, on overseas bases and locations, etc. Is every one of those absolutely positively necessary for the defense of the United States? Is every one of them tied to a vital national security interest? Is every one of those exercises that we do really critically important? Hard looks, real hard looks at everything we do, I think are warranted. And I have no problem in leading us through that to the extent that we can. So, going to be interesting stuff. People going to get a haircut. So we'll see what happens. All right, we're going to take a break. That's a quick look at the news. When we come back, the Mensa brothers will join us. That's right. Every time to get excited. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.